We have a love-hate relationship with email. We love it because we can get in touch with one another in an instant. We hate it for the same reason. Email has been around for some time now, and we're still trying to master it and manage it. A few years back, writers and friends David Shipley and Will Schwalbe recognized the need for a guide to email, and they wrote it, and it was first published in 2007. The title, Send: Why People Email So Badly and How to Do It Better. A new edition is now available in trade paperback from Vintage. Will Schwalbe joins me this afternoon to bring us up to date on where we stand with email. Hi, Will.
Hi, Celeste. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
It's been 4 years since the first edition was published. Have we gotten any better at email?
We've gotten a little bit better, but unfortunately, we haven't gotten better enough. I mean, the good news is that people at least recognize now that there's a problem, that we're asking each other for too many things on email, we're too demanding, too gossipy, too duplicitous, and just sending out too much of the stuff. So it's like all addictions, recognizing you have a problem is a great first step.
Okay. Well, why is email so hard to do right?
Well, one of the reasons is, as you said, it's just this thing that we didn't do 10 years ago, and now we do it 100, 200, 300 times a day. And when you think about it, what else do you do 200 or 300 times a day? All I can really think of is blink and breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're doing this thing all the time, and we're not doing it in moments of solitude and reflection. We're doing it before we rush off to a meeting or while the kids are screaming for something or while we're talking on the phone. So it's no wonder we make so many mistakes.
Yeah, and we might even be doing it during a meeting.
Oh, people are doing it during a meeting,
yeah.
On the bus, on the train, and unfortunately when they're driving too, which is a terrible idea.
Yeah. So more and more of us are receiving email on handheld devices. Is that changing what we do with email?
It really is. It's making us even more reactive. So one of the problems with email is there isn't that moment to sort of stop and think. We forget to take that moment. I mean, when you think about it, letters were wonderful because you had so many opportunities to change your mind. I mean, when you wrote that really nasty letter, you had to put it in an envelope and stick a stamp on it and walk down to the post office. And so many times you said, do I really want to send this? But with email, boom, you've sent it and it's gone. And that's even worse on handheld.
Yeah. What's your advice for us when we send something we regret sending?
Our advice is when email gets you into trouble, don't use email to get out of trouble. If you send an angry or confusing or inappropriate email, pick up the telephone. Do it right away. Call the person and say, I've just done the most awful thing. Fall on your sword, and I think you'll find that the person has probably done something similar in her or his life and will be sympathetic. If you send an email, it'll probably just make things worse.
Yeah. When you receive an email, what's the window for a prompt reply?
Well, it really depends what kind of an email. And one of the things that we urge people is when you send emails, let people know what kind of reply you would like or expect so they can get back to you and tell you if it's realistic. I mean, if I were to send you an email saying, Dear Celeste, are we on for dinner tonight? It's pretty obvious I need to hear back between now and 7 p.m. If I were to send, Dear Celeste, can you write an essay for me about the state of public radio in America? I should probably say, I would love this by, a month from now or 6 months from now. And if I don't, you might write back and say, Will, you're asking for too much too quickly.
And one of the things that I really like to see in the subject line of an email is no need to reply.
That is the single best piece of advice that people can take away from this. The beauty of no need to reply in the subject line or at the end of your email is then they don't reply and then you don't have to reply to them. Part of the problem of email is no one knows when to stop. So, I'll say, Celeste, it was lovely for you to have me on the show on WILL. Thank you so much. And you'll write back, no, please, thank you. And I'll write back, oh, don't be silly. And off we'll go, 10, 20, 30 emails.
Mm-hmm.
There's a calculation that to set up a meeting for two people to have one meeting usually takes 7 emails.
Wow. One of the things that I've learned along the way is if I've got something to send out and I want to take a little bit more time with it, I just save it as a draft and I go get a cup of coffee and I come back and take a look at it again.
So it's a great idea. It's also a really good idea if you're sending anything sensitive to do it as a Word document and then attach it, because that way you can't accidentally send it. One of the sort of big problems we're all having with email now is autofill. You know how when you type the first two or three letters and it suggests someone's name?
Right.
It's so easy to send the right thing to the wrong person or the wrong thing to the wrong person. It can be disastrous, autofill. And composing an email in a Word document and then attaching it saves you from the possibility.
Yeah. Are businesses paying adequate attention to providing sound guidance about email for employees?
It's almost unbelievable, but they're not paying any attention at all. More time is spent at most businesses teaching you how to operate the sort of fancy telephone and hold button than what kind of expectations that business has for what does or doesn't belong on email. And the consequences can be disastrous, both for individuals and their careers and for the businesses. I mean, more and more we're seeing that the smoking gun in huge corporate law cases is some silly email that an employee shouldn't have sent.
Yeah. Google announced a new feature for Gmail aimed at highlighting important emails and signaling those you can wait to read. What are your thoughts about what Google is calling priority inbox?
Well, I started using it, I think it was yesterday I started. It's a brand new feature. I think it's very smart. I think it's very smart to set up filters and to take advantages of things that helps you prioritize your email. That said, one of the wonderful things about email is how democratic it is, how pretty much anybody can email you and you can email pretty much anyone. And I hope that the filtering doesn't get so extreme that kind of wonderful serendipitous email doesn't get filtered out, the one from a business opportunity or a long-lost friend or something that catches your fancy.
Mm. That is so wonderful when you hear from a long-lost friend. And that would be a shame if it got lost.
It really would. So, I mean, I think like in all things, there's high tech and high touch. And the best systems will combine both. The nice thing about what Google's introduced is actually the more you train it, the better it will work for you. So it's your telling it over time what kinds of emails are important to you that really informs the intelligence of the filter.
Mm. What's the learning curve on using these features?
This one is very intuitive. This one seems right away. And Google has some other terrific things, too. I don't know if you know about Google Goggles.
No.
Google Goggles, a couple of people there cooked up. It is keeps you from emailing when you're drunk. And when you set it up, it forces you to solve some fairly simple math problems. And if you can't solve them, it won't let you send emails.
Oh, that's smart.
So, yes, I mean, it's another great combination.
Yeah, okay. Another thing before we go, I want to ask you, this has to do with etiquette. And because so many people are getting email on handheld devices, should we be thinking about that? How should we tailor our email messages for handheld devices?
Well, whenever I use my handheld, I replaced the default signature line, which was something like sent from iPhone, with the line, sent from handheld, please excuse terseness and typos.
Mm.
And I know people have ones that say small keyboard, big thumbs, or all sorts of things. But I think most important is just to let people know when we're sending from handheld so they don't get offended by the brusqueness or the brevity. And also, it makes it more and more important, if you send an email to someone and you want them to do something, for goodness sakes, make it the first thing in the email. Because if you force someone to scroll through screen after screen after screen after screen, they'll probably mess it.
Mm. And if you and I were to have dinner this evening, Will, would you turn your handheld off?
What I would do is I would turn my handheld off, and if I absolutely felt compelled to check my email, I would excuse myself, I would go to the John, and I would check it in there, which does lead to some sort of hygiene concerns, but is really, is really I think, the better part of valor.
Yeah. Or you could step outside and check the weather.
Or you could step outside and check the weather, exactly. But the one thing you really can't do is check it at the table.
Okay. Will, thank you so much.
Thank you, Celeste. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. My pleasure. Will Schwalbe and David Shipley are the authors Letters of Send, Why People Email So Badly and How to Do It Better. The book is out. A new edition is now available in trade paperback from Vintage. Also, you can check them out online at www.thinkbeforeyousend.com.